Welcome. I'm Sarah Pollock.
And I'm Quinn Faison. And we're parent coaches at Plan P, where we believe in the power of practice.
As parents, we have been there through the teen years. And sometimes being there was a rough road. We learned the P was for many things, and always for practice, patience, and pause. From burping a baby to parenting emerging adult children, there is no right or wrong way. We're humans. We learn by doing.
The work that we do now as coaches has the full support and approval of our amazing children and our greatest teachers, Allie and Harrison. So if you're a parent, you've come to the right place. We're going to give you tools to practice clear communication with your children, which will improve your relationships.
We're excited to have you join us on this parenting path that passes through the adolescent years, where learning is in the pause and perfection is found in practicing. So let's get moving.
Welcome back to the Plan P podcast. We're honored to have you join us again this week
as we discuss all things parenting as our children grow up. So welcome, whether your kid is 3, 4, 5, or our niche, as they call it, as life coaches who work with parents of preteens, teens, and young adults. But really what we talk about is parenting, which is also a relationship.
Yeah.
So we love doing what we do. Sort of amazing, isn't it? You're not responding, which is a perfect segue to this week's topic, which is detachment. I'll get back to why that's the perfect segue later, maybe. Just keep people on the edge. What? Huh? Detachment. Because a lot of talk, especially, and this is Al-Anon in particular, but Invitation to Change talks about it. And both of these are organizations or groups which are focused on people who have people with substance abuse disorder in their lives. And they, just like we, talk about relationships.
Right.
But a lot of parents are told, go to Al-Anon. You need to detach with, and Al-Anon says detach with love, which is just another thing that people struggle with. But this notion of detaching, which is also this notion that we hear about a lot, which is you've got to let them hit rock bottom, which has been debunked multiple times for substance use disorder. And the other thing that people say a lot is you got to let them suffer the consequences.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I can feel my hackles going up all the time because I think Al-Anon gets a bad rap because people hear detachment and think hit rock bottom and suffer the consequences. And we talk about natural consequences and detachment with love, which it's the same idea, but it's done with gentleness and with love and with support. It's not just cutting and running.
It's not kicking them out of the door.
It might be, but it usually isn't. Usually that's a last resort.
Right. So the thing that came up for me this week is if people are being asked to detach, a central question is, I've never heard anyone actually talk about, so I'm going to talk about it here. What are you attached to? What is it that you want to detach from? Because the assumption is I have to detach from my child. And as a parent, I'm like, not interested. How do you detach with love? Well, that makes no sense.
Well, it's detaching from their behaviors, not from the person, right?
Bing, bing, bing.
Also, I think in here somewhere is taking it personally, right? We take things personally, and in that way that anger is a way of holding on to something. Resentment is a way of holding on to a relationship or an interaction. So too is taking it personally. It's a way of holding on. So I think for me, one of the biggest tools in the detachment area is to not take it personally, to recognize that people do what they do. They don't do things at me or to me necessarily. They just are doing what they do. And I'm...
So what is it that you are, and I'm not talking about you personally, but that parents are attached to?
Well, they're attached to the actions meaning something. If the child is coming home and going directly to their room and not having the conversation that they used to have when they were younger, I take it personally that they don't want to talk to me anymore.
So you're attached attached to the child behaving like they used to behave in that scenario?
I think I'm attached to the child behaving the way I think they should behave.
And what makes you think they should behave that way?
Well, either because they used to do that or because a good person would.
I think that identifying those things, recognizing, oh, I'm attached to the way I think they should behave.
Right.
You know, Katie Milkman, who wrote this great book and does a great podcast, and what's the name of her book? It's How to Change. Talks about a blank slate.
Mm.
Like, you gotta have a blank slate. Now, reading from the book, because I was looking for this. Change in the absence of a blank slate isn't hopeless. It's just hard. And then hunch I had here, there might be a way to harness the feeling of a blank slate, even when no tabula rasa exists. Even when no blank slate exists. For me, I write things down, right? Mm-hmm. So I almost am like, when I heard that blank slate, I literally saw like a chalkboard. I need to put on there what it is that I want to detach from, that I have to zero in more.
Right. In this particular instance, what is the thing that I am attached to?
Right. And often it is exactly what you just said. They're not behaving in a way that I think they should.
Right.
That I think they used to.
Right.
Or that is like a good person.
Right.
Good people acknowledge other people. I'm attached to them being a good person. And a lot of parents say they're a really good kid.
They generally are a really good kid.
Right. I mean, that's the thing about children in the preteen, teen, and young adult years are they're adulting. They're moving into it in that, like, a million little threads that were literally connected to us. All those things that were connected to somebody when they were in utero.
Mm-hmm.
There's an umbilical cord.
Right.
That literally gets cut. And this is sort of next level teasing apart so that there's still some connection between you. And that's why people don't want to detach, right? Because they think
they'll lose connection.
And then they hold on without, what are the connections I want to hold on to? Am I willing to, for instance, have them live in my basement, not working? I know they suffer from mental health issues. So that feels like the thing that a good person would do, would not kick their child with mental health issues and substance use disorder, this really lovely human who they love. How can I kick them out and love them at the same time? That doesn't make sense, Sarah.
Right.
And of course, I never told anyone to do anything. I never do tell anyone to kick their child out or to let them stay. That's not my business. It's not my house. But it's tricky to trust that there are some connections. And sometimes you get to identify, where are you willing to connect? Do you want to support them even if they're not living at home? Whether that's in a lavish apartment off campus because they've been kicked off campus. Or it's about having a relationship with them where you can discuss it. If you don't have a relationship with them, there's no discussing.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you can have a relationship without being able to discuss. I just wouldn't say it's necessarily a healthy relationship.
Okay. Noted, and I agree with you.
And with our kids, we tend to think there's a way we're supposed to be doing it and a way they're supposed to be acting rather than really trying to, I mean, I think one of the things that we do when we're working with parents is try to open up the possibilities so that it's both and, not either or.
Absolutely.
Because there are solutions to these things that are not immediately apparent.
Solutions to what things?
To situations like, you know, what are you going to say to your child who's living in your basement and is it okay? Usually, at least in my experience, some part of it is okay and some part of it isn't. And so teasing that apart so that you can have that conversation.
Right. So, right.
Which is, again, to the attachment. What part of it are you attached to?
Right. And getting that blank slate. And writing, I'm attached to having a connection.
Right.
I mean, that's the tricky part about
right.
recognizing the many strands, I think.
Yes.
And again, one of the things as I was thinking about it before this podcast was I was attached to an outcome.
Yes.
That disconnects me, that detaches me from the human.
Yeah.
I'm now looking at the human. And I think, what's the name of that book? Troubled.
Mm.
We talk about the troubled teen industry. That's detaching from the human. I think a lot of conversations now in schools of even young children. It's like we need to see how they learn. And once they get to be an adult, that's not our job anymore. It's to say, I'm here if you want. And able to say, you're asking me to lift you from point A to point B. I just dropped you at point B. Why do you need another ride back to point B? And no, I'm not paying for the lift. Helping them understand what we will and won't do.
Right. And that speaks to boundaries.
I think that there is a direct connection
between boundaries and attachment or detachment?
I do, because boundaries are hard. Because if we're looking for an outcome, those are actually like a funnel, not a boundary. I want you to go in my direction.
Mm.
Here are the walls, now go there. And that doesn't allow them to explore other options. So of course they climb the walls and out they go.
Right.
I don't want to go down to that place down at the end of this hallway. There are all these other doors. Why are they locked? Boundaries. Whose book is it? It's Set Boundaries and
Find Peace
by Nedra Glover Tawab. And she talks about boundaries as setting clear expectations with regard to how you can help. So that to me is one thread of detachment.
Right.
I want clear boundaries. I want to communicate
what we will and will not do.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the confusing things about boundaries for many people is that we think we're putting up boundaries about your behavior when actually boundaries are for our behavior because we can't control anybody else's.
Right. So when I like what Nedra says here, I might be mispronouncing her last name, so I hesitate to do that. Set clear expectations with regard to how you can help is really saying communicate to the other person the expectations of what they can expect from you.
Right.
Not.
Yeah, I think I got my view of boundaries from that book.
Yeah,
right.
It's a really good book.
It's a good book. And it does explain how boundaries are for us, not for the other person. Boundaries don't actually help us control somebody else's behavior, which I think is how we generally think about them.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm going to put up this boundary so you don't.
How ineffective some of those boundaries or quote unquote natural consequences. The natural consequences, I'm going to take your phone. I want you to not have your phone.
Right.
Like, I think that that's part of working as a parent, the work of parenting and setting boundaries when you can't put them in a playpen. You can't strap them into their child's seat. They're driving.
Right.
You can't do those things. And so engaging in conversation.
And being clear about what the expectations are for your behavior, not for their behavior.
Also expressing to them the reason. When you do this, which you are going to leave the house and you're not going to, you know, if you fail, the impact on me is, and here again is one of those things that I think in terms of detachment, it's important that I detach from how they do in school because what I'm attached to is their success. They're getting into college or high school. They're blah, 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 blah. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
My hopes and dreams for them.
Right.
Sometimes we've got to push back as kids. No. Again, those are your hopes and dreams for me. Kids want to have an opportunity to explore their own. Are we giving them that opportunity?
Mm.
We sent Harrison on many things, road trips,
right,
outdoor experiences and things.
Right.
He was a child. We felt like it was our duty to find something for him to do for at least some portion of the summer.
That was hopefully enriching in some way.
Right. And I don't, full disclosure, I have no idea whether we actually talked to him about what he'd like.
I mean, I think we presented them not as like, you will do this, but wouldn't this be fun, kind of.
We'll have to ask him and get back to you on that. But in that outcomes way, and talking about our kids, a story which I'm sure I've told on the podcast before, but it bears repeating. When Allie was applying to high schools and they said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And Allie wrote, I want to be happy no matter what.
Right.
Now, 4 years before that, when they started at that school in middle school, and the head of school had said, I want everyone to write on a piece of paper, write what you want your child to get from this education. This was the first where we were paying for their education directly from our checking account. And I wrote, what I want them to get from this education is happy. And so 4 years later, when this kid's applying to high school, and they write basically, look, all that investment was worth it. They are want exactly what I wanted them to get from those 4 years of education. And you know what I said? I don't think that's what they're looking for. Just see in front of you, hand on head emoji, hand on head emoji, hand on head emoji. And then they erased it and wrote to be a rock star, which I think we've said before, they ended up touring with the band. But it was opening for someone who had a legitimate following. So all to say, do we want to detach from the human and our goal of their being happy? Because that's where we can connect.
Mm.
What am I attached to? I'm attached to you being happy. And I think I know how you are going to get there. That's where...
Or at least how you can avoid unhappiness.
Right. And then we suffer when they suffer.
Yes.
We perceive them. I mean, this is the other thing about not seeing people's whole selves.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is they are doing that we think that they are doing that is harmful to them. And that could be skipping class.
Right. Oversleeping.
It could be doing drugs.
Right.
Could be cutting. Could be eating disorders.
The creepy friend that we don't like.
Could be all of those things.
Yeah.
Could be any of those things. And all of those things they are doing for some reason.
Right.
They're hanging out with that. Oh, okay. I do not like that kid. Why do they hang out with that kid? That kid's nothing but bad news. That kid isn't leading them in the right direction. You know, the direction I think they should be led in. On and on and on. But it's like, if we can detach from that notion that they're going south, maybe they need to go south to go north. Sometimes you got to do that. My father and I drove from Iowa to San Francisco, and we were going to drive straight, sort of west. I mean, more or less west. And we ended up having to go way south and come way north to avoid something. They're trying to avoid something. Unless we have a healthy trusting relationship with them, and we just see them as not being going the way that we want them to, we're not trusting. We're not worthy of their trust. They're not going to tell us what they're feeling.
Right.
Whether, I mean, no one ever asked me if I felt stupid. I felt stupid all the time. I managed to claw through high school and college. Again, 40 years ago when things were different. A lot of the people I knew were using something to dull their pain.
Yes.
And often in those years, that was weed, alcohol, cocaine.
Right.
Some people crack, different things. Sex, for sure.
Yeah.
Lots of different things. So if my parents had any idea I was doing all of that, maybe they would have done something different. But they were like, yep, she's off in New York doing whatever she's doing. My parents did detach. It's about what we are attached to. If we are attached to them doing things our way, it means they will get up, they will go to school, they will do well, they will, you know, it's doing things the way we imagined when they were born they would do things.
Right.
And a lot of the parents we talk with, not all, but the vast majority, the children have had everything, you know, and we've tried really hard to find that balance to make sure that they see how fortunate they are.
Right.
Now, there are lots of kids right now, and this is based on no studies that I have done, who are suffering because they know how fortunate they are. And one service week in the year isn't enough to help feel like they're making a difference to the people who are in the same city with far less resources.
Right.
And I think that that really is impacting this generation. Not all of them.
Right.
But I think the world has changed so much in terms of we know so much about people who aren't like us.
Yeah, there is more information and therefore awareness about things all over the world.
Right. And it can make a human of any age feel a little overwhelmed. Yeah. What can I do? There are lots and lots of preteens, teens, and young adults doing amazing things. Most of them don't get the recognition. The vast majority of people doing amazing work are doing it because it fulfills them.
Right.
Not because they have a million followers.
Right.
But we're in an era now where this standard of excellence, I'm using air quotes, in being of service, finding fulfillment there is outward facing. They follow people who are doing amazing things. They don't necessarily feel like that because what am I doing? It's just this little drop in the bucket, which I think that's how the bucket gets full.
Yeah.
You got to find the way to feel okay about it within yourself. I'm doing the right thing. So what are you attached to? And what do the kids want to be attached to?
Right.
Like, what do they want to write on? It's their blank slate. We're handing the slate to them. We've taught them.
Yeah. What are the things that they care about and will give them, I mean, in that man's search for meaning way.
Yes.
What will give them meaning, not what do we think they should find meaning in.
Right. And I think, again, that's one of the things that you got to take responsibility. What do you want to take responsibility for? Help them, you know, you can give them, absolutely give them responsibilities within the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is important to the degree to which I actually did it. I'm not sure, but you know, to a degree.
Yeah, but it's important in terms of their feeling part of the family and feeling responsible for and a little bit grown up and yeah, all those things.
Right. It's your responsibility to do this. You didn't. What do you think the consequence should be? Because you're part of this family. It impacts. You're not taking responsibility for making dinner means we're all standing here and we don't have dinner.
Right.
Well, instead of flying in or saying, no problem, I'll bring home something. Or why don't we all meet at some place? So that was your responsibility. What do you want to do?
Right.
How can we work together on this? And that builds their ability to be part of.
Right.
Take responsibility within. Is it going to be their primary purpose in life in that man's search for meaning way?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find purpose, our own individual purpose, and it will change.
It does change, right? Over time, what's important to us, where we get meaning.
Right. So we, as parents, detaching with love just means handing the clean slate to them in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to write? What are you attached to? What's important to you? You know what's important to me.
Right.
And I'm willing to say, maybe college isn't so important. I used to think that was where you were going to go next, but you're not. And that's okay with me. What do you want to do? And it depends on where your kids are in that. And it doesn't matter whether they're 14 or 40, how much you want in terms of getting back to the boundaries, you know, being clear about what you are willing.
How you're willing to support them.
How you're willing to support
that.
Them.
Like, are you willing to pay their education, or are there some boundaries on that? Are there some...
Are you able to pay a portion of it?
Right.
Have they looked into how much it costs to do it?
Well, I was going to say, depending on what school they go to and how much it costs and
right.
where they can live. And
right. Each individual family is going to have a very different conversation.
Yeah. All of those things that go into being a student. Are you a student full time or are you working?
Right. And having that conversation. And again, about supporting them without doing it for them.
Which is a hard point to find, the balance of supporting them without doing for them, I think, because we've spent so much time doing for them that it's hard to just support them doing it on their own.
Right.
It can be hard for us to hit that
balance. But
again,
in finding where we want to attach and where we want to detach, I think that being clear with ourselves first
right.
and any other supportive parties,
right.
if it's financial or housing,
right.
you know, we're willing to do this for this long. We're not willing to do it. I mean, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. While you're in school or while you're saving up to buy a house.
Right.
You know, or while you're, but so that the expectations and the time frames are all clear.
Right. The other thing is you're talking, I'm like, because we often say to our kids, we hear you. This is your plan. We trust you'll let us know if you need any help. I really want to jump in sometimes and say, do you need a new car? Do you need a new this? Do you, I mean, I still want to, and we did buy new tires for someone's truck once.
Well, that's because we felt unsafe using it.
Right. It's hard.
Upkeep of cars and apartments and houses and furniture and all of the things that we accumulate, upkeep is expensive. Cheaper than buying new all the time, in my humble opinion. But it's interesting because now, as I've just said that, I'm thinking, oh, we live in a culture that throws things away and buys new all the time. And my culture is to buy it once and try to use it forever. The balance between those two things too.
Yeah. I think that some of our disposable clothing is disposable and some of it, I got some H&M stuff from back in when no one even knew what H&M was. It's like 20 something years old. I'm attached to it.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
What are the things that we are attached to that are important? What do we want to let go of that isn't ours anyhow?
Right. So I guess that leads us to the practice of the week.
It does.
Which is to try to differentiate what is the thing that you're really attached to. So in that example of they're not going to the right school, are you attached to the school that they should be going to, that they should be getting higher education? You know, what is the exact thing that you're attached to in that situation?
Right.
And is it really yours to even decide?
And how do you want to shift it? In other words, if I'm attached to my child's happiness, I'm willing to detach from my ideas, detach from that notion of who they should be, and just connect
right.
to who they are, not attach, not get on their back, but keep that thread of connection.
So what I hear you saying is look at what you are attached to and figure out what you really want to be attached to.
Because if you understand what you are attached to, then it is way easier to understand where you want to connect and disconnect. Identify what you're attached to. Do you want to detach from that? Doesn't mean detach from the human.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
Full stop.
Okay.
Remember,
change takes
so much time.
And
so much patience.
And
so much practice. Thank you all for being there and helping us practice.
Thank you for tuning in to Plan P. We hope you enjoyed this episode and gained some valuable takeaways that you can practice this week. And remember, change takes time.
To stay connected with us and ensure you never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast with your friends, family, and other parents who could benefit from these discussions. Also, please be sure to leave us a review on Apple or Spotify because that will help us reach more amazing parents like you.
If you want to talk to us one-on-one or learn other ways in which we support families, visit our website at planp.us. You can also keep up with Plan P on Instagram and TikTok at Plan P is 4.
We will meet you back here next week.